Vem sadita panam, puro shabuta dakpanam, adhyamam abudasiha, kimasat kama bhivale,
personality of Godhead, Adbhuta Darpana, wonderful manifester, Adhyatmam, overseer of all causes and effects, Abhudasya, a one who does not know, Iha, in this world, Kimasat Karnabhi Pavet, what can be the benefit of engaging in temporary fruitive activities? Translation, Nārada says there is a house made of 25 elements. The Hrayastas understood this analogy. The Supreme Lord is the reservoir of the 25 elements, and as the Supreme Being, the conductor of cause and effect, he causes their manifestation. If one engages in temporary fruitive activities, not knowing the Supreme Person, what benefit will he derive? Purport, philosophers and scientists conduct scholarly research to find the original cause, but they do so scientifically, not whimsically or through fantastic theories. The science of the original cause is explained in various Vedic literatures. The Vedanta Sutra explains that one should inquire about the Supreme Soul. Such inquiry about the Supreme is called Brahmajigyasana. The Absolute Tattva is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedanta Tattva Vedastattva Mirjana Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmani Bhagavaneti Sabyate. Learn a transcendental to know the Absolute Truth called this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. The Absolute Truth appears to neophyte devotees as impersonal Brahman and to advanced mystic yogis as Paramatma, the Supersoul. But devotees who are further advanced understand the Supreme Truth as the Supreme Lord Vishnu. This material cosmic manifestation is an expansion of the energy of Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu. Whatever we see in this material world is but an expansion of various energies of the Supreme Personality of God. It is like a fire that spreads illumination for a long distance, although it is situated in one place. The entire cosmic manifestation is an expansion of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if one does not conduct research to find the Supreme Cause, but instead falsely engages in frivolous temporary activities, what is the use of demanding recognition as an important scientist or philosopher? If one does not know the ultimate cause, what is the use of a scientific and philosophical research? The Purusha, the original person, Bhagavan, Vishnu, can be understood only by devotional service. Only by devotional service can one understand the Supreme Lord, person who is behind everything. One must try to understand that the material elements are the separated inferior energy of the Lord, and the living entity is the Lord's spiritual energy. Whatever we experience, including matter and spiritual, the living force is but a combination of the two energies of Lord Vishnu, the inferior energy and the superior energy. One should seriously study the facts concerning creation, maintenance, and devastation, as well as the permanent place from which one never need return. Human society should study this, but instead of culturing such knowledge, people are attracted to temporary happiness and sense gratification, culminating in bottomless, topless passion. There is no profit in such activities. One must engage himself in the Krishna consciousness movement. Supreme Lord is the reservoir of the 25 elements, and as the Supreme Being, the conductor of cause and effect, he causes their manifestation. If one engages in temporary fruit of activities, not knowing the Supreme Person, what benefit will he derive? So, we all know about the 25 elements. Many places in the scriptures, including the Bhagavatam, we have a list of the elements. The same elements are listed in Sankhya philosophy. Even the atheistic Kapila gives similar elements. And so does the Nyaya philosophy of Gautama. Of course, there are some slight differences, because though Sankhya enumerates different elements, and even the Jiva, they do not admit Supreme Lord. Whereas the Bhagavatam lists the same elements, but also lists the Jiva and Supreme Lord. So there's a big difference in spite of the fact that the elements appear to be the same. And the difference is that the final cause is Supreme Lord. And without that Supreme Lord, Jiva and all the elements cannot do anything. They're inactive. Now, of course, in Sankhya philosophy, they think that simply the combination of Jiva with matter produces everything. So there's no need for a Supreme Lord. But here in the Bhagavatam, we understand that nothing will happen unless the Supreme Lord puts the Jiva into Prakriti and wills Prakriti to manifest into different elements. If the Lord does not do anything and will anything, nothing happens. So definitely material world is made of elements, and definitely the Jiva sits in the material energy. And one says they are causes, just as clay is the cause of a pot. So Prakriti is the cause of the material world with its elements. But we also know that the Lord injects the Jiva into Prakriti, and then it manifests into material worlds. So we can say, well, Jiva is the cause, because he goes in and happens. But who puts Jiva in? He cannot go in on his own. It is the Supreme Lord who wills the jiva to contact Prakriti. And then everything begins to happen. So, behind everything ultimately we have the Supreme Lord. Now, of course, in one sense, the material elements are not very important from a spiritual point of view, at least. And that, for that reason, is called the Bahiranga Shakti of the Lord. Bahiranga Shakti is external energy, outside. And the opposite is Antaranga, inside. So, relatively speaking, if we're in the house, then we care more about what's inside the house than what's outside the house. So similarly, what's inside the spiritual world is more important than what's outside the spiritual world. Both are aspects of the Supreme Lord, but nevertheless, the Antaranga Shakti and the spiritual world is superior to the Bahiranga Shakti and the material world. It's outside. So, as far as the Lord is concerned, he relegates this Bahiranga Shakti to Paramatma feature. It's Paramatma who does the willing of creating material worlds, etc. Whereas Bhagavan remains in the spiritual world, involved with his devotees in pastimes. So that is the Lord's main interest. So therefore the Bahiranga Shakti is real, but it is secondary. So the question will come, why, if the Lord is not considered very important, why is it there at all? So it is there because some jivas want it there, and therefore material exists for the Bahirmukha jiva, the jiva who is caught up in the material world and wants to enjoy for that purpose, for the jiva's purpose. The Lord manifests this material world or Bahiranga Shakti, which is inferior. Still, the preference of the Lord is for the spiritual world and for the jivas there. At the same time, he is all compassionate. So therefore, he makes arrangements so that the jivas in the material world have an opportunity to get to the spiritual world. So the Lord provides means by which the jivas can get out of this position here. So Narada Muni's described this situation of the material world, and the Haryasvas are explaining it, and they say, well, what is the use of being in this material world with karma, etc., getting material bodies? So they understand that the material world, which we think is the ultimate, is actually not ultimate. It's very temporary, and ultimately subject to change, death, repeated birth, etc. So the Supreme Lord does not leave the jivas indifferently. He creates methods by which they can get out. He provides knowledge as part of the method. He appears in the material world personally as avatar to show the living entities here there is some superior existence. He provides scriptures which have that knowledge. He provides devotees of the Lord to explain the scripture to the people of the world. And of course we have deity forms of the Lord in the material world to show the people that there's something superior. We have the name of the Lord, which is non-different from the Lord and is spiritual. So though the material world is inferior, the Lord enters into the material world in various ways, through scripture, through bhakti, through the holy name, through the deities, etc. So even in the inferior energy, we do have some spiritual world existing. So this is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And the whole purpose of this is to help the jivas get out of this material world and go into the spiritual realm. So the Haryasvas here is saying, oh, it is
material world is useless. What is the use of continuing here in the material world? So that is a good realization. But there must be some method by which we can end karma and material bodies, etc. So that is provided by the Supreme Lord, so that we have this example here of all the stuff in the material world. Ultimately, there is a method by which we can also get out of this particular position. So here this verse is described as a Purusha, who is very astonishing and very amazing in what he can do. So the jiva has to recognize the Supreme Lord. Though normally he's looking at matter and seeing only some unconscious substance, if he has proper eyes, then he can also recognize the Supreme Lord. So there are several ways he can do that. One, of course, is by the primitive way, is through the Swarupa. He can see things in the material world and somehow relate that to aspects of the Lord Shakti. And it's a material form of the Lord. And we understand that aspects of the material world are somehow representing the Supreme Lord. That's material. Anyway, it is at least acceptance of the Supreme Lord. Higher than that is to understand that the Lord is a spiritual person who creates the material world. But we can't understand that unless we get proper knowledge of Scripture. So that is why Prabhupada here explains that scientists and philosophers can speculate and do research on finding the cause of everything. They can partially succeed. They can understand property and its cause, further, more subtle property and more subtle property, etc. Eventually they may understand about the mind and intelligence as also being material things, substances. But that is about the limits. Can they get even to Atma or Jiva or the Supreme Lord? Very difficult for them to get that far, by speculation. So it is Scripture that tells us that the actual origin of the material world is the Supreme Lord. So that is actually a Paramatma form. Paramatma is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of the material world. So even to get that far is very difficult for a person without scriptural knowledge. And even if we have scriptural knowledge, to get that far is also very difficult, because there's so many descriptions in Scripture about the Lord as the creator, etc. Okay, fine, the Lord's the creator of the material, well, that's enough. But to get to the aspect of the Lord as Bhagavan, who is not even related to the material world at all, who is just in the spiritual world, performing activities with his form, qualities, etc. That is even more difficult to understand. So this is what Bhagavatam is explaining. And Prabhupada here quotes the verse about the three aspects of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Brahman, maybe you can speculate about and get to that position. Gyanis do that. But get to Paramatma, very difficult. To get to Bhagavan, impossible by speculation. So we have to accept the knowledge that comes from the Scripture at that point. And then we can actually understand completely. So the Lord is merciful, and even if you want to speculate, whatever, he does allow some glimpse of something. So therefore, in Sattva Gun, you can begin to understand Atma, different sort of body from Atma or Jiva. You can understand something of Brahman as opposed to matter. But to get to Paramatma Bhagavan, that is very, very difficult. So we have to rely on Scripture. So that is why the Lord produces Scripture, manifests it in the material world. He allows the Jiva to get that knowledge. So Veda Vyasa very mercifully has recorded things, written things, divided things, divided the Vedas, passed them on, wrote the Puranas, wrote the Mahabharata, wrote the Brahma Sutras for the people to take advantage of in Kali Yuga. And it's through these works that we will discover the highest aspects of truth. So that's one step. But it's understanding what is actual. The next step is realizing it. So therefore, as well as that knowledge, there is knowledge of process. And that process is the process of bhakti. And, of course, then the result is there, the prayojana. And the result also is described. And that result is described not just as a word, but as an experience. So therefore, we have in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, a description of the leelas of Krishna. And by reading, hearing, and understanding these leelas, one is able to experience something of the perfect result, that is the goal, prema, in the spiritual world. Motivated by that goal, and then we do the bhakti. We perform the process in order to get that perfect goal. So therefore the Bhagavatam actually is considered to be the conclusion of all scriptures. There's many scriptures, the Vedas, the Upanishads, and the Mahabharata, Puranas, etc. But the Bhagavatam is considered to be the essence of all that knowledge, written as the last work of Vedavyas. So in here he's come to the final conclusion. So the final conclusion is ultimately perform bhakti, worship Bhagavan, attain prema. But the special aspect of Bhagavatam is even more than that, and that is to worship Krishna, who is Swayam Bhagavan, special form, perfect manifestation of the Lord in all features. To worship Him through a special type of bhakti dedicated to Krishna, by which one attains prema, but not ordinary prema. The prema in relation to Krishna is also very special. And so therefore, that is described in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, the description of Yasoda's love for Krishna, the gopis' love for Krishna, the cowherd boy's love for Krishna. All of this is very, very special. So not only does Bhagavatam reveal the general process and the general goal and the general knowledge, it also gives us within that the highest form of the Lord and the highest process and the highest goal. So therefore the Bhagavatam is considered very, very special for that reason. So mercifully, this has been revealed. Sukadeva has spoken it again through taking it from Veda Vyas, and it's been handed down through our acharyas, revealed again by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, so that we can get access to this highest truth. Yeah, depending on the yoga, of course, some yogis are quite impersonal, they're more like Gyanis. Of course, in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, he does mention Ishvara Pranidhan, or worship of the Supreme Lord. And in Bhagavad Gita also we see there's a description in chapter 6 where the yogi meditates and then he actually concentrates on the form of Paramatma. So there are some yogis who do that. In the second canto of Bhagavatam, it describes two types of yogis. The inferior yogis meditate on the Visvarupa, universal form. Those who are more advanced, they will meditate on the Paramatma form. So, the purpose of the Paramatma is that it is only through the mercy of Paramatma that one can stop the functions of Chitta from operating and thereby realize the Atma. So In other words, they use Paramatma to get their realization. Rather than developing devotion to Paramatma, they accept Paramatma and then they use his mercy to get liberation from material energy. So that's the normal course of the yogi. So he's something like the Gyani, even though he follows a slightly different process. So therefore, getting his liberation, and then he forgets about Paramatma again, once he gets his liberation. So he's considered in a similar type of category. Well, if one realizes Bhagavan, that includes everything. If one worships Krishna, Krishna includes all the avatar forms, so we don't have to worship anybody. If we worship Krishna, we also get Narasimha, Rama, Varaha, Parasurama, everybody. What to speak of Paramatma and Brahman? Everything's included. Because he is Purna. He is complete. Siddhis, of course, are material things, so it's not necessary that the Lord has to directly do that and give himself. It is the Lord who gives liberation. Yeah? Of course, we can say that even going to Sparga Loka ultimately cannot be done except if one gets the mercy of the Lord. So in that sense, also the siddhis also cannot be given properly if one does not worship the Lord also. So through that particular process, by controlling the mind, the senses, and the pranas, these things will develop by the mercy of the Lord. But they're material, just as Sparga Loka is also material.
Maharaj ki.